Will you pray with me as we begin? Father God, open our hearts to what you have to say to us this morning. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us and lead us and animate us. Give us, Lord, what we long for, we pray. And cleanse us of those things that take us away from you and lead us astray. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I first wanted to say thank you. This is the first time I've been up front preaching since my dad died. He died just over a month ago, and we've had, as a family, so much support. So thank you. I'm still sad, but less so because we've had so much support. So thank you. I wanted to talk this morning, as we begin this new series through Lent, about being confused, about being lost, or dislocated, all twisted and jumbled up, where nothing is going right. And maybe you've had times like that, too, where you just wish it would all be over, it would all solve itself. And sometimes we know what is wrong, we know what the problem is, but sometimes we can't identify anything. We don't know what is wrong, and we just kind of keep slipping into that black hole of messiness. And so we thrash around, unsettled, and the pressures of all of that draining everything within us, draining our strength. Well, the Psalms are our great, great gift for all of us who thrash around, individually and communally. The Psalms are for us. Now, if you grab the Pew Bible, I'm going to teach you a trick. So one of my great confessions is that although I have come as a Christian, come to see that Scripture is God's revelation to us, my knowledge of the order of the books of the Bible is very limited. And I'd love to blame it on a learning issue, but it's just, But Psalms are great because if you take your Bible, your Pew Bible, and you put your finger in about the middle, try it. See, and you can show off. Like when someone says, let's read Psalm 23, you're like, no problem. Go to the middle of the Bible, put your finger there, open it up. What do you get? Psalms, right? Aha. See? So you got to fake it till you make it. So that's what I do up here. No, that's not true. But, right in the heart of our scripture are the Psalms, right? They give us, at the heart of the script of our scripture, they give us solid affirmation of God's presence in our lives, okay? So that's what they tell us, and we get that framework. And within that framework, we have the space to say whatever we need to say. They give us a model of a mighty God who loves us fiercely and tenderly and can cope with all our messes, all our betrayals and confusions. You read the Psalms, right? There's some really hard stuff that gets said in the Psalms, but it's within the context of God's abiding love and presence. And so now as we started the season of Lent together, we're going to be walking through a cluster of psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. They were clustered together for pilgrims who were making the journey to Jerusalem, right, for the festivals, right, making their way to Jerusalem to draw near, to approach the presence of God in Jerusalem. Because what was in Jerusalem? The temple, right? And who was living in the temple? God, right? So they made their way to Jerusalem to be close to God and to fulfill the law. Now we are walking through Lent, 40 days, time to repair, recall, and be challenged and even transformed by those 3 days of Easter. And what happens at Easter? Good Friday, the torture and agonizing death of Jesus, then Easter Saturday, the day in the grave, when he was dead. And then Easter Day, the day of being lifted out of the dead, the first fruit, the new beginning. Now, Jesus also made his way to Jerusalem, right? At the end of his life, at the end of his ministry, he made his way to Jerusalem because he knew that was his ultimate end, and he knew it was his Father's plan for him. And I wonder if Jesus sang these songs of ascent with his friends as they made their way for Passover. It's very likely, right? So by following the Psalms of Ascent, we're going to be making our own pilgrimage towards Jerusalem. Not to face what Jesus had to face, but to arrive at Easter. To affirm and confirm that we are recipients of God's gracious love, of his free gift of being made free. Ultimately free of the messes and tangles and confusion of life. Free to live our lives knowing that those tangles, confusions, and messes do not have the last word on us. And in a way, these first three psalms, I think, are a lovely little trio. And we're going to take time to look at all three today, and I'm going to make you work. So you've had your time of rest. We're going to work. We're going to start with a song about being in exile and far from peace. And then the next psalm, the psalmist is on their way to Jerusalem. And then the third psalm takes us into Jerusalem itself, and we get a picture of a safe, just, equitable city. So, crack your Bibles open, show off, show us, see, show us what you got. Can you get to Psalm 120? I'm going to be asking you to read, so out loud, together, congregationally. That's one of the things we do with psalms. So you really need to have a buddy or a Bible close at hand. Okay. Thank you. The youth can have them too. Okay, so the Psalms are written for congregational singing and reading, so we're going to do that together today for all three of them. So, youth, are you guys ready to be a group? Can you read out loud? 120, 120. So, and if you're looking in the Pew Bible, that's page 571. So, the first group, so reading verses 1 and 2 together, it's going to be the chapel group and this row of pews, okay? And I'll let you know when it's your turn, so don't worry, but you're verses 1 and 2. And then you guys are going to be 3 and 4, so this middle pew. And then youth along the window, can you read verses 5 to 7 out loud in full voice? You can. I know you've got lots of good readers there. Okay, awesome. Okay, you ready? 120. You're welcome. Okay, verses 1 and 2. Read out loud.
I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues.
3 to 4. Thank you. 5 to 7. Thank you. Well read, everybody. Okay, so what's happening to the psalmist here? What is the issue for the psalmist? What's that issue? Just throw out some ideas. Persecution, not in Jerusalem, away, far from home. War is being threatened. I heard something over here. Lies, lots of lies. So living with people who lie a lot. Deceitful, the word deceitful is repeated a couple of times. Anyone else?
Calling on the Lord.
He calls on the Lord, right. He calls on the Lord. Anything else that pops out at you? Someone else? Punish? What verse are you reading? 4. Yes, he will punish you. Right. So it's the deceitful tongue, right, is the subject there. Punishing with a warrior's sharp arrows. Thank you. So he feels despair. Whoa. Yeah. Oh, yep.
Luke.
Save me, Lord. So he asked for help, right? Awesome. So our psalmist, the voice, the person who's voicing this, is living, sojourning in a hostile land far from the security of home, right? That would have been Israel. Meshach and Kedar are, and I, sorry if I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it this morning, are far from Israel. And if you look elsewhere in Scripture, Meshach are those who spread terror in the land of the living. And Kedar are those who are warriors with bows, whose glory is about to come to an end. That's from Isaiah. Now, our psalmist is surrounded by not just liars, but active liars, right? Deceitful liars. Do you know anybody like that who just is constantly lying? Right? You know what that's like, right? This constant, you don't know where the ground is with them because they're constantly lying. Except in this case, it appears to be a group of people or a cluster. It's not just one liar. It's a lot of lying, right? And what happens? What do we lose when we're in the midst of a deceitful group of people? What do we lose? Oh, Luke.
Trust.
Yes. And you can't if you don't trust someone, it's hard to do just about anything, right? Anyone else, what do we lose when we have just surrounded by a lie? Gavin?
Sanity.
That's right. Because if people are lying to you all the time, you don't really know what's right. Exactly. Very good. Uta? Security. Right. Yeah. You can't rely on anybody's word. Right? Excellent. Now, our psalmist longs for well-being for themselves and for the community, right? It says, I am for peace, right? But he or she has too long lived among those who hate peace. But this peace in the Old Testament sense is shalom. We sang about that earlier. Shalom is wholeness, it's wellness, it's health, it's settledness. Right? Knit into the fabric of relationship with God and relationship within in the community with others. Okay? Shalom. Right? So it's good. It's really good, shalom. It's not isolation, not a fractured society, but a whole society. So is there any hope for our psalmist in 120? Is there any hope? Any hope? You're saying no, there's no hope. Thank you, Richard. That's right. I'm going to say the translation should be, it's past tense in the Hebrew. It should be answered. Okay? So even better. So this person has a history of God answering him. He knows that God has answered in the past, right? And that's the framework for the rest of the psalm. Okay? God has answered him. Well, so the psalm is saying this, okay? There is confusion and woe and exile. So speak the truth about it. And our God reigns. He's in relationship with us, and he has answered in the past, and he will answer again. That's our first psalm, 120. We're going to move to 121. So it's still on the same page, and we're going to do something again, but we only have two sections. So, this side, you get to read verses 1 and 2. It's a question. And then this side, you read 3 to 8. It's the response to the question. Okay? Okay. So, Psalm 121. Oh, I turned my page. And off you go. I lift
the sun will not harm you while
Amen. So I think this psalm, Psalm 121, comes at a perfect time after 120. Right? Where does my help come from is the question. Now, has anyone here ever been to Jerusalem? Okay, awesome. So I haven't been. But could someone sort of say out loud what it's like as you approach? Because I'm assuming you don't fly into the old city. What is it like when you approach Jerusalem? Those of you who've been there. It's lush, like green. And what about the terrain? Hills. So is Jerusalem in a valley? Or is it on a... I'm hoping it's on a hill. That's my hope. Is it, Meg? Is it? Not really? The old temple was on a hill though, right? Right? It's on a hill? Yeah, okay. So it's hilly, right? So if you're a pilgrim approaching Jerusalem, it's hilly. So you would be able to sort of imagine as you approach Jerusalem, you look up and you see mountainy kind of hill ranges. Is that fair? Yes. Where did you come from? Okay. Awesome. That's really neat. Okay. So I don't know enough about the terrain. So it'd be interesting to know, like, I should have had a topographical map. Well, I want you to imagine that the pilgrims will be making their way to Jerusalem, maybe from the desert, maybe from a lush area. We don't know, right? But they're coming up to the temple at Jerusalem. And then imagine that one of the group, right, that you've got a gang of them, pilgrim making the pilgrimage for Passover. And then one of them calls out, "Where does my help come from?" Right? That's what I'm imagining. And then I'm imagining, too, then this response, right? Then comes the response, verses 3 to 8. And I want you to have a look at that, verses 3 to 8, and see if there's a verb that kind of keeps coming at you in verses 3 to 8. I hear watch. Will not. Anything else? Watches. Thank you, Declan. Yeah. Night. Interesting. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So I'm going to take the watch one, okay? Watch or keep or guard, right? The same sense there. As with the sense of protecting, watching over, looking after, or fending off those who would seek to do harm, okay? That kind of guarding, okay? And the one who does the guarding in our psalm, okay, is the Lord. He is the subject of the verb, okay? Lord, God does the guarding. He is for us. He is on our side. He is helping us. And he's not distant, not remote here. Very, very present, not at all disengaged. But he's active, present, and the future. You'll see that too in those verbs. They're present verbs and future verbs. He's all in, as Lindsay would say. You're coming and you're going out. The sun and the moon. These descriptions are extremes, right? The sun and the moon, you're coming in and you're going out. Meaning that God is always with you. And he's not even going to sleep, right? He will not slumber. Always active. So... I'd like to move to 122. Now, I hope you can feel some momentum with these first two psalms. We've moved from exile and persecution, closing in on Jerusalem, the city. And here in this final psalm that we're going to read this morning, 122, in the city itself of Jerusalem, in Zion. Okay? So I'm going to ask for three groups again. So... you guys did such a good job as a unit. You're going to be the first group reading verses 1 and 2. This middle pew here, verses 3 to 5. And the chapel, 6 to 9. But you're going to need to speak extra loudly because you're in the corner a little bit and you need to project. Okay? Okay, verses 1 and 2 of 122. I rejoiced.
Let us go to the house of the Lord.
Keep going. Sorry, I need some water. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, everybody. So the psalmist arrives at Jerusalem finally, okay, having made that pilgrimage, and then describes the city for us, okay? It is a stable and safe place to go. It is bound firmly, so it's built strong. It's a secure place in times of trouble. It is also the place to go to give thanks to God and to live out that covenant relationship between God and his people. And finally, it's a place where there's justice and equity for those within its walls. Now, what does this city bring? Well, it's a place of refuge. It's a place to be close to the Lord our God. And it is a place that is fair for everyone. So my question is, what would that look like if you and your neighbors were living in Jerusalem right now? What would a Monday morning look like if you were living in Jerusalem? Think about it. What would it look like? It'd be crowded. Okay. Yes, it would be very crowded. Yes, Kit. Sorry? You would talk to your neighbor, right? If there was fairness and equity. Yep. Nice. Anyone else? It'd be noisy. Yes, because we're kind of bounded within the bounded walls. Yeah, absolutely. So think about, come on, I'm going to push you. What would your job be like if you worked in a job that was fair and equitable and everybody you worked with was working for in a job that was fair and equitable? Happy. How would you feel doing that kind of job? Sorry? Grateful, satisfied, right? Anyone else? Creative. You could pursue those talents that God had given you to the fullest extent. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say, like, if in this city wall of Jerusalem, of Zion, that we would have a satisfying job, that we would have a fair wage, right? Everybody would have a fair wage. Can you imagine what a city like that would be? What about time for rest? What about time for leisure? What about time to spend with your family? Time to have hobbies? Sounds pretty nice, right? No hangovers, right? And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but you wouldn't have a need to do things like drink to forget, right? And what would it look like if you and all your neighbors, and me included, we were all walking around knowing that God loves us and that we are redeemed? What would that look like? Imagine the subway on Monday morning. It would be a beautiful thing. But really, right? I mean, we're living in now. But we're, yes. You wouldn't have to lock your bike up. Absolutely. Yeah, awesome. Anything else? Yes, awesome. So Marcus is saying we would have opportunities to be praying together, right, as the day went on. Right, and you certainly have that in this psalm too, of the psalmist saying that they're praying for the city, right, for the sake of my friends and for all people. Okay, thank you. So I'm gonna draw this to a close slowly here. We've started this walk with the first of the three songs of the Psalms of Ascent. We've started our pilgrim walk towards Easter, towards Jerusalem, right? Now, with these first three, we have walked through exile,
living in constant threat. We've walked through bold statements and trust in God. And the final psalm this morning helps us walk into a vision of life completely ordered by God in God's presence, a sweet, good life in his presence. Shalom. Now, there are people here this morning who will be feeling pretty far from God right now. Feel that life is piling up on top of them. Maybe the phrase, "I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Maybe that resonates with you and what you're going through right now. Or maybe some people are asking, "Where does my help come from?" You really, really need God to show up for you right now. You're dry, brittle, and maybe even convince yourself that it's better to be realistic because God is so far away and he doesn't really care about your mess. Now, Jesus came to show us how to live. He came to show us God's heart for us, that God is for us, that he's on our side. He is the God who had 100 sheep and one went astray. It's that God who goes after that one sheep, right? We rarely talk about the 99, but you don't hear in that parable, you don't hear about all the fence and the safety measures that he did for the 99. No. God is reckless because he cares about the lost. So he leaves those 99, as good as they are, and goes off after that one and puts everything down for that one that is lost, because our God is a God for the lost. Jesus came for the messy ones, the ones who can't keep a relationship together and know that they don't deserve to be loved anyway. The ones who sit alone in the dark on New Year's Eve. The ones who spend all their time looking at online porn. The ones who keep hoping that they will see their dad just one more time. Jesus came, Jesus died, and Jesus rose from the dead for the messy ones. And as we begin this pilgrim journey through Lent with these psalms, I have some practical advice for you. Keep reading the whole psalm. Right? Don't just pick out little bits. Don't pick out the good flashy alleluia bits. Don't stay in the dark valley of the shadow of death. Read the whole psalm. Get the full picture of God, the God who is for us, the God who is not against us.